what I was going to minister was a word about engaging the harvest. And so they actually posted it on social media, and I told my wife, I said, hey, did you make some post about that? And she was like, yeah, it's up. I was like, I'm probably not preaching that anymore. And so it's on there, but it's a sermon for another day, right? So at some point, I'm sure the Lord will lead me to preach that, but I really felt like the Lord changed this yesterday. And really, early in the week, I started just wondering, and then Saturday morning, I woke up and was praying and just wasn't sure. Talked to my family, and they probably thought I looked frustrated, because when you work for a while on a sermon and the Lord changes things, it does get a little like, oh my goodness. But the Lord just gave me a peace, and last night, He just confirmed it all for me as I was just spending time with Him, and He told me very clearly what He wanted to do today. I wanted to move off of the whole thing about engaging the harvest, because I believe we're doing that, and I want to commend you in it. But He told me there very clearly last night that what He wants to do is just us to come in here and to celebrate our King. And really, we didn't plan the worship service together. If you really think about it, that's what we were just doing with all our heart. And so you just know that's the Lord leading us in direction, that He wants something from us today. And what He wants from us today is a celebration of who He is and what He's done, the significance of Him, the beauty of Him. And if everything, to fall in love with Christ in a greater capacity today, some point more. And so that's my prayer. That's my hope, is that we would come in here and we would just celebrate Jesus. And so I really feel like the Lord showed me even how we should end this service. Is that in this service that we need to specifically come to the altars and just, like Wesley was doing, dance unto our Lord, declare unto our Lord His worth to our lives. To just declare, He is wonderful. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of adoration. So the word that the Lord put in my heart today was specifically this, is that the King of Peace has come. The King of Peace has come. And this is the greatest news that I've been thinking about just so much. He came. He really came. And let that grab hold of you today. Some of you in here are probably like, okay, here we go, starting the sermon, all this thing. And you start drifting off. But I would ask you with all your heart, ask the Holy Spirit right now to give you the ability to listen. Because the King has come, and He's coming today, and He comes again. And He comes every moment to your life. And so just to say, I want to celebrate Jesus today. And I want to preach about the King of Peace has come. And really what it is that Jesus is our peace. He's our true and lasting peace, and He's the King of Peace. And as I was thinking about this thinking about peace in our lives, the truth is, peace is a very fragile thing. Is it not? Like, to break this window up here, I would need a stone, you know? So I probably need something hard, something like a stone, and I could break that window. But to break peace with people or things, just a slight of a word can change that. Just one thing can change peace. Can break off peace. And I was thinking about that, how peace is, it's fragile. It's not easily, it has to be maintained, and it can easily be broken, but not Jesus. He is the King of Peace. The fact is that we've always wanted peace. Humanity has always sought after peace. There's no doubt about that, right? You watch these people and they say, we want world peace. They want world peace. So you think about even in the Middle East, for thousands of years, there's been constant turmoil and war and war and war. And people have expressed how they want peace, but yet they have no peace in the Middle East. Or you could even bring it to our own neighborhoods, and you could talk about the city, like Chicago or Baton Rouge, New Orleans, these areas where there's crime that is, and if we know this about Baton Rouge, one of the heaviest crimes areas in the country. There's not peace in our cities in that sense. There's peace is a lack. It's not found everywhere. But then you could even bring it down further. And you could bring it down to the personal level when we talk about families. Families are in turmoil, and families desire peace, and families don't have peace. And maybe it's within the marriage, the spouse and the husband have issues together. Or maybe it's the children and the parents, or whatever it is. There's the issue where there's a lack of peace in their lives. Or even we could go down to the individual, if you want to put it down for your own self. Maybe it's a place of, like Wesley was talking about, you're just suffering with depression and anxiety, and you have no peace. And you come in here today, and you have no peace in this life. And people grab self-help books off of the shelf, looking for somehow to find some peace. And what I simply just want to say is this, is that Jesus is the peace we need today. And that's what we want to see, and that's what we want to declare. So that's the question we have to ask. Where do we find peace? We find it from Jesus. We find it from the Son of God. And so if you would turn with me to Luke 19, And we're going to go to Luke 19, and we're going to look at verse 28. And this wasn't intentional, but as I was just reading this passage, it just really stuck out to me. It's Palm Sunday. This is the Palm Sunday passage. So it wasn't planned that way, but it is. It's going to, I really believe the Lord led me to this passage. And we'll read it to you, and then I want to pray and give you some background on into it. But it says in verse 28, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olive, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying it? You shall say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if you were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you even had known on this day the things that make for peace. For now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" So if you just pray with me, the Lord would move in this service. So dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of Peace. And I thank you that today what your desire is for us to celebrate you, and you desire to reveal to us how you are the King of Peace. To our lives, in every circumstance, in everything that we do, in everything that we go through, God, you are here in the midst of it. No matter what has happened, God, and I just pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the very word that you have. I pray that you would help me to speak as you'd ought me to speak, God. I pray, Lord, that everything that I would say would be seasoned with grace and love and mercy, God. And Lord, that it would be effective for your glory, God, and it would be all according to what you desire and according to your will, and not according to my tongue or my ability in any way, God. But I thank you, Jesus, and I pray you bless the people. I pray you bless this service. Let us just honor and glorify you in all that we do with the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So understanding this, I want to give a little bit of background leading into this passage. So we just read the passage about the triumphal entry. And it's a passage that's it's really important in the Bible, and I think it's one of those stories. Okay, cool story, but there's a lot of significance to it. But just leading some background towards this, so I want you to understand. In the book of Luke, this is chapter 19. From chapter 9 on to chapter 19, it's about a 10 chapter difference here, that we see Jesus begins his a road or a path to Jerusalem. And in Luke 9:51, he talks about how he sets his face towards Jerusalem as if nothing's going to deter him from going there, okay? So this whole thing starts in Luke 9:50. And along that path and along that pathway, what Jesus does is he begins to work endless miracles. I mean, he sees miracle after miracle, or they do miracle after miracle, and people are beginning to say, maybe he's the Messiah, maybe he's the King, and they begin to recognize all these sort of things that Jesus is doing. But Jesus has not yet publicly declared who he really is. He still has kept that to himself and maybe to a few select. But he has not publicly declared that he is the Messiah or that he is the King. The one that Israel had long been waiting for and the one that the earth all needed, that humanity needed up until this point. But when you get to Luke 19, it all changes. Everything that Jesus does in this passage that we read is extremely intentional on Jesus' part, because he wants to relay and convey some things that the masses have not yet known or declared or understood yet. And so when he does some specific things in this passage, he does so because he wants the world to know some things about himself. And it's his entry as King to his mission and what he's called to do and why he's here. And so what we see up until this point is we see all these miracles. I mean, think about it. We've seen Lazarus. Lazarus has just been healed. We see demon-possessed people be delivered. We've seen lepers being healed. We've seen the woman with the issue of blood. All these events have happened before. And yet none of the times Jesus said, am I the Messiah yet? But now he's going to. And this is what he does. So from there we see he goes to Luke. And what he does in this passage, and what I want to look at in this passage, is how this passage reveals about Jesus as the King of Peace. And I want to just pull out some things that are so just, it's there and you see it and you're just like, he really is the King of Peace. And this is what he's trying to reveal to us as he approaches, as he understands. He reveals himself as King and Messiah in this passage, but he specifically reveals him as the King of Peace in this passage with that. And the first thing that we see, if you look at verse 28, it says, and when he said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And this is subtle, okay? It's subtle, but it's there. The first hint that we see of the theme of peace in this passage about Jesus' identity as the King of Peace is the very word Jerusalem. If you're familiar with anything about cities, sometimes cities get known for their nicknames, right? Philadelphia is the brotherly love, okay? Some people know. Detroit is Motor City, right? Because of Ford. Or you got Pittsburgh is the city of steel. Or Baton Rouge, right? Red Stick. Cities are known for these specific things. This is what defines them, or this is what people think about when they hear them. But the word Jerusalem, if you know what it means, Jerusalem just means the city of peace. It's the city of peace. And the reason why it's the city of peace, or why it was meant to be the city of peace, is because God dwelled there. It was the place God intended to dwell. It was the place that God would say, I would make my abode in Jerusalem where the temple would be. I'd make my abode there. And that became a city of peace because it was God's dwelling place. But we know, according to the story at this point, is Jerusalem at peace? Not at all. Jerusalem, it's like a hornet's nest right now. Some estimate that there was around 2.5 million people gathered around in Passover week, Jerusalem at that point. And it was like a hornet's nest because everything was going on with Jesus. And people were starting to question, who is this? Is he the Messiah? Is he not? And so there was all these things going on. And Jesus comes onto the scene. And when he does such, he reveals something specific. He comes to the city of peace, right? And he is the one of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So think about it. A city that was intended to be a city of peace is not a city of peace. But the one who is peace comes to that city to bring peace. Because the city was completely destroyed. The city was not what it was meant to be. It was not functioning as it was ought to be. So God, Jerusalem being the city of peace, the dwelling place of God, God himself, who is the one of peace, goes into that city to bring peace. And ultimately the way and the means and by which he does it is by going into that city to die for humanity. So that humanity could have peace. That's the beauty of Jesus. He knows Jerusalem is messed up, but he knows the whole world's messed up. And so he initiates this passage. I'm going there to bring peace to these people because they are completely messed up without me. I am the peace that Jerusalem is meant to be. God dwelling in Jerusalem is what makes it peace. And so Jesus goes. And so first off, right off the bat, you see this whole thing about just peace getting thrown in there a little bit. Like, all right, so that word kind of deals with that. But secondly, what you see, as you see that when Jesus calls his disciples to himself in verses 29 through 35, what does he particularly tell them to do? He instructs his disciples to go to a nearby village and find a colt or a donkey, a never ridden donkey there. And he tells them to untie it and bring it to him. This was the intentional move on Jesus. This was the move that was meant to let everybody know, this is who I am. I'm not hiding anything anymore. I'm this guy. Because this was a fulfillment of prophecy. If you're familiar with this at all, this was a specific fulfillment of the Old Testament. And y'all, so much of the Bible is connected, and we need to see that. Because when we see that, we understand, what did it mean that he did this? He rode this donkey? Zechariah 9:9 is a particular passage. And Jesus knew that if he were to get on this donkey and ride it into Jerusalem like this, he knew that he was fulfilling this passage. And he knew the people would know that. And this is what it says. It says in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus understood that this intentional move to say, go get me this donkey. I'm going to sit on it. They put their cloaks on it and he rides it in there was an intentional move to declare that I am the Messiah. I am the king. I am the one that every human has needed all throughout history. Everything has pointed to this moment. Everything has pointed to this moment that Jesus has come. All of human history revolves around this moment in time that Jesus would come onto the scene and Jesus would introduce himself as Messiah to the world. And in the process, what he does there is he declares that he's Messiah through this donkey, but he also declares this specifically the type of king he's going to be. By riding on a donkey, he declares some things about him. But as he declares himself as Messiah, I want you to understand some of the things that when he said, when he fulfilled this prophecy, this is basically what he said about himself. And we all need to know these things. He said this about himself basically. I am King Jesus, and I'm the one that bears the sins and sorrows of humanity, from Isaiah 53. If you understand Isaiah 53, if you've ever read it, it talks about how there would come a suffering servant, a Messiah, who would bear the sin of humanity. He would take that upon himself, the iniquity, their sorrows. He would put all of that upon himself for their sake so that they could be made right with the Father. This is Isaiah 53. And by him riding a donkey, that's what he's declaring. So when he rode into that city and he's riding the donkey in the city and everybody sees that, it's like he's saying, I'm here to bear your sins. I'm here to take your sins. I'm here because your sins, you have no peace with your sin. You have no peace because your sins overwhelm you. They destroy you. They consume you. And you have no hope because of your sins. But I bear the sin. I take the sin. And he still has the same ministry today. None of Jesus' ministry has ceased. Not only that, but when he would ride on that donkey, it was almost a declaration that I am one from Genesis 3:15. If you know anything about Genesis 3:15, it is one of the first promises of the Bible. And it is particularly this, that evil has in... Look, here's the... We know the battle goes between Adam and the serpent deceives them, and it's like evil's won. And God gives a glimmer of hope. He says in Genesis 3:15 that there will be one that comes of the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head. Meaning, I will do away with evil. I will destroy evil. It will no longer have reign. Dark powers will no longer have reign. In other words, there's the kingdom of the devil, and there's the kingdom of God. And by Jesus riding on the donkey, he was declaring, I'm here to beat the kingdom of the devil. I'm here to defeat the kingdom of darkness. I'm here to show that those things have no longer can bind people up, because my kingdom brings life. My kingdom is hope. And that it's like just riding on a donkey declares all of this, that the enemy's done. The enemy's done. And he rides the donkey into the city to die, so that he could defeat death and resurrect and come back to life, so that death would be exposed and defeated and Satan and all his demons would be a mockery. They would have been mocked. They would have been ashamed of themselves, and they would have been completely disposed of anything they had, the Bible teaches us. Any weapons they had, they were disposed of by Jesus. And so he's declaring to them on this, but also this, and this is beautiful. In 2 Samuel 7:13, it talks about God tells David, I'm going to give to one of your descendants an everlasting throne or an everlasting kingdom. By Jesus riding on a donkey, what he's declaring is saying, I'm that one that my kingdom will last forever. My kingdom will not fail. And you may ask, well, what does that have to do with anything with me? I tell you this, if you have followed Jesus, if you have declared him as king for your life, if he is king over you, you have now entered into the kingdom of God. And you can. This is a guarantee you can know it will never fail. It'll never fail. You build your own kingdoms, guess what? They will crumble. You put your faith in some other form of a kingdom, it will be destroyed. But the Bible says about the kingdom of God, Paul says in Romans 14:17, he says, this is how he describes the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why is there peace? There's peace because the king is there. There's peace because the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us joy in his presence. And so for us, he's riding a donkey declaring, I'm the one from 2 Samuel chapter 7:13. I'm the one whose kingdom's everlasting. And guess what the description of my kingdom is? One of peace. So for the believer in here today, guess what your life is now that you are in the kingdom of God? You get to live in the kingdom, a life of peace. And we know the world doesn't have that. So all of that comes from him just grabbing a donkey and riding it, riding that donkey in. I was thinking about the fact that he rode the donkey, and and declares about not only him being the Messiah, but it declares the type of king he is. Because in those days, the kings, they would obviously ride war horses into cities when they were conquering them. They would ride these war horses to be as if they were power and to give an image of some. But a donkey, if a king ever rode a donkey into the city, it would have communicated peace. Specifically, if they chose to ride donkeys, it was one to declare that I am here to bring peace. And so once again, Jesus saying, I'm the King of Peace, bringing peace. Just like when you think about, this is not the first time Jesus has ridden a donkey. Right? He was in his mother's womb when he came. And he rode a donkey. And what did the angels declare about him? Good news and glad tidings. Peace to all men. And here he is riding a donkey once more. Once riding a donkey into the earth to save man, to deliver hope for them. Now riding a donkey to his death to declare peace once again. Peace to all that is in Jerusalem. Peace to all of humanity. And this is his heart. And this is what he reveals. And so Jesus is just, the whole thing, guys, is what he's declaring. Is I'm peace. I'm the King of Peace. You need peace. It's me. I'm the only one. You also see here that he begins to, what you notice is in verse 37, the crowds begin to gather around Jesus as he rides in. And there's almost a parade of praise that comes forth. And they begin to declare these things, and the crowd understands something. The crowd discerns this. They understand that the Lord's coming has something to do with peace. Now, maybe they didn't get everything. We know that. But they understood this, that it had something to do with God bringing peace. Because they said in verse 38, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven, they proclaimed. This goes exactly back to Luke 2:14, when the angels declared, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, the people he favors. And once again, he declares to them as he goes in that he brings peace. And so what this does is the people understood that Jesus is bringing peace. And what this speaks to our lives today is this, the simplicity of it, is wherever Jesus goes, he brings peace. Wherever he goes, he brings peace to your life. And so I just want for that thought, your own life right now, what circumstances are you being plagued with that you have no peace in? Because let's be honest, we all have something. Maybe it is the struggle with a relationship with a spouse, a child. Maybe there's a lack of peace with finances. Maybe there's a lack of peace with all sort of things that could be going on in your life. And you just don't, maybe it's depression, maybe it's anxiety, and you have no idea where to turn. And Jesus comes onto the scene in the triumphant entry to declare to the people of Jerusalem, I am peace. I bring peace wherever I go. I brought peace to the earth in Luke 2. I'm going to bring peace again when I die. And my life, who I am the Prince of Peace. I am the one who brings peace to every circumstance of your life. And I was thinking about this in regards to what it means for you and I. Because I told you in the beginning, what all he wants to do is for us to celebrate him today. And I just thought, what is my response to this? Well, number one, it has to be, I have to receive Jesus. I have to receive Jesus and the peace that he brings to my life. I have to receive what he desires to do in my life. But also that the response should be that of praise. It should be that of praise. Even the people in this story, what did it say? The disciples begin to shout praise unto him. They praise him because of all the mighty works they had seen him do. And they begin to bless the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They begin to declare God his worth. They begin to declare, you are worthy because of all that you have done. You are worthy because you brought peace to my life. And I think about what Wesley was, just Wesley, because I know Wesley, I've known him since he was a little kid. And we've had times where we've talked about things and struggles in his life. And I know where he's come from because of some of the things he's publicly told me, or we've had moments together that he's talked to me about. And I think the reason why he is able to worship so much is because God brought peace to those circumstances. And I just ask you, what has God brought peace to your life? Has he? If you know Jesus, I promise you he has brought peace. He's brought peace to you. He's brought peace to the very fact that we deserved the judgment of God. The fact that we were separated from God because of our sin and his death and his burial and his resurrection and that and believing in him and what he's done for us has now reconciled us back to God. We were at war with God, the Bible says. It says we were enemies of God. We were declaring war. We were throwing grenades at the kingdom of God, essentially. Our very lives. And Jesus made a way for peace to come between us and him. Where it's not like, okay, now we're just on good terms. You know when like you try to restore a relationship and it's like, all right, we settled our differences, but we're not going to stay friends. Like, we're still just going to keep a little distance. It's not that. It's this. It is where he says, all right, you were complete enemies. We were basically terrorists. If you want to think of it that way, we were terrorists against the kingdom of God. Everything we did was in opposition to that. And yet Jesus comes and allows a way for us to come into God's kingdom, to be reconciled to him, and not from a distance be like, well, you were a terrorist, so I'm going to keep a watch. No, he begins this intimate relationship of love and grace, and the God of all the universe begins to dwell within you. He dwells within you like, my mind cannot fathom that, but I've just been marveling at it and trying to just think about it and pray to God like, he dwells within me. And that would have never happened had Jesus not brought peace to this earth. Is that not worth declaring and celebrating? See how easy evangelism is? Isn't that easy? I don't got to convince you you're this, step one, step two. I just got to say, goodness, God dwells with me. The peace of God is with me because God is with me. It is the greatest thing the world has ever known. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that was this, that God's presence has come. And Jesus has made a way where all men can know that presence and know that peace of Jesus. So is there not one thing that we could sit in here today and say, Jesus has brought peace to my life? Maybe there are specific things that you do need, but that's why we have the person of Jesus. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. There is no question about it. And so for us in here, it's like, what is the response? The response to just knowing that Jesus is the King of Peace. He brings peace. Everything he did in this passage was revealing about his character about peace. It's just simply a heart of praise and worship towards him. And it's receiving him. The Pharisees obviously weren't happy with that. It says right there, what does it say? They tell Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Don't do that. Don't let them be excited. Don't let them thank you for what you've done in their lives. Don't let them be excited. Don't let them understand that you've brought peace to their lives. And Jesus, he's like, if they don't, the rocks will cry out. If they don't, the rocks will cry out. And that's a fulfillment of all different Old Testament scriptures. But we as the people of God, it is our calling and our honor to glorify and to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he's brought peace to us. It is not a job. It is not a tool. It's not some hard thing you have to do. It's just a declaration of what you've done for me. You are so worthy of me. You're so worthy of my very life. But the last thing, and musicians, you can come up. The last thing about this that I think is unique to this story is what you see in verse 42 and 41. It says Jesus, so he reveals all about peace. He reveals what he is. And it's like everybody needs this peace in life, y'all. Everybody needs this person of Jesus. But when he gets to the city of Jerusalem, the one that he desires to bring peace to because it doesn't have peace and he is peace, he gets there and he sees the city and it says he wept over it. Just think about this for a moment. Here's God. Here's Jesus. Here's God weeping. Have you ever thought about God weeping? You don't see thunders roll. You don't see earthquakes shatter. You don't see hail. You don't see any of these things right here. All you see in this verse right here is you see tears streaming down the face of the Almighty God over people. He's weeping over their condition because they do not have peace. And he knows he's the answer to their need of peace. He knows that. And you know what's amazing about that when you look at this? The reason why they did not have peace is because they did not realize who he was. These particular people in Jerusalem did not understand who Jesus was. It says in verse 32, would that you even had known on this day the things that make for peace? Me. But now they're hidden from you. For your days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you, and there'll be judgment. And here's the deal. Jesus went into Jerusalem to bring peace to them, to bring peace to their lives. But they did not know him as that, and they rejected him as he was. They rejected him as king. They rejected him as the king of peace for their lives. And what happened because they rejected Jesus as king and rejected him as the king of peace, they were judged. They were judged. And some of you in here may sit here today, and maybe you've got the Christian lingo down really well. Maybe you've got, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. You've got some of the things that people, you know, Christianese, that's what we like to say. Christianese language really well. But you've never actually bowed your knee to the King and to Jesus himself. You've never actually said, I just don't want to use you so I get to heaven, but you are my King. You are worthy of all praise and honor and adoration and everything I am. And you bring peace into my life in every circumstance. Maybe there's people in here like that today. And what Jesus says, he's coming to you just like he did to Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem. They just didn't accept him at the peace that he wanted to give them. And because of that, there was judgment. If you're in that place today, what happens to that? So if you hear Jesus crying out to people in here today, say, I want to bring peace to your life, and you're in nothing but turmoil, don't reject me. There comes a judgment for those that reject me. And so just in closing with all of this, my prayer is this. I know it's short. The Lord changes a message and it gets short sometimes. Some people like that. Maybe you are finding it hard in this life today. Maybe you've come in here today and you have no peace. You have no peace right now. There are circumstances that have driven you to a place of wanting to pull your hair out. Y'all, it could be as simple as being frustrated with your kids. I've been there. I've got 3 kids under 3 years old. It's frustrating sometimes. And I feel like in those moments I don't have peace. And Jesus speaks to me, I'm the King of peace. Receive me of peace. Maybe you've come in here and you're just completely broken. Your life is in shambles and you have zero peace. The only advice I can give you today is you would say, okay, well, what's the practical thing I can tell you? I can just tell you this. Get to Jesus. He will give you peace. That's just the facts of it. When Jesus came, he came for the purpose to bring peace between us and God, us to one another, and to your life in every circumstance. Whether you're lacking it in some place, I just pray that you'd understand. You can come to Jesus today. Just celebrate Jesus. Celebrate what he's done. Celebrate the peace he's brought to your life. Declare it to the church. Tell somebody. Look at somebody and say, this is where I had no peace and Jesus brought it. This is where I had no hope. And so if you would stand with us, if you need peace today, if you need it desperately, come to the altars. But also come and celebrate the King of Peace. Celebrate King Jesus, y'all. He's worthy.